from the first part of this chapter in chapter 11, 2 Corinthians 11. We took a look about how he says that he's jealous over this church with a godly jealousy. He's espoused them to one husband that he may present. He says that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. And so from our study and from this passage here, we have an understanding about the doctrine that we refer to as the bride of Christ, the bride of our Lord. And I posed some things to you last time about this, and I'm not dogmatic in it by any means. I mean, I do believe in a Baptist bride relative to what we know the Lord's church is to be today. But I want you to think about something and just consider this and mill this over. For you and I, access to the bride is going to be through the Lord's church. And as it is with the Lord, he does his choosing, and yet you and I have a responsibility as his children. And so there is, as we've seen, there's rewards for faithfulness. There's rewards for heeding the call of the Lord. And then, as we've seen with the Lord, don't be scrounging and working and striving for the sake of getting your rewards built up. The reward is with the Lord. And when he rewards us, to whatever extent that we are rewarded, it will be good, it will be right, it will be appropriate, it will be just what he wants us to have. Yet we are to strive to be faithful. And so there it is with this and connected to this about being in the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Certainly, from what we understand, that this is a church that's being spoken to. The church is made up of the Lord's children. The Lord's churches are his people that he's called into those individual assemblies. And understand this of the church is what? It's the third institution. It's the third institution of the Lord's church. What's the Lord's second institution? It is his nation Israel, or the institution of government. And so we know that the Lord made the institution of government, which has been from the time of the beginning, whenever it was that there was an authority in a city and a man built a city and there would be some kind of law that would be set up. That's ordained of God. And then when the Lord got a hold of that and made a great statement regarding that institution, had to do with his nation. And so I'm of the opinion that in the bride of our Lord, there could well be that of his institution, the nation, and his institution, the church, because it's two institutions that the Lord dealt with. Now, the institution, because is there this? Does Israel replace the church? No. Does the church replace Israel? No. They both have their place. For you and I, we live in this church age. So that of any of being a Jew and being connected to the nation and all that, that's not even in our realm, not even in our zip code. But it could well be that the patriarchs, that the men called, the people that the Lord saved in that day and in that time and from that nation could well be part of the Lord's bride. Again, I'm not dogmatic about this, but look at all the language in the Scripture referring to the nation as a she. And very special to the Lord. And the Lord speaks to her in her waywardness and disobedience as a wife. Okay? And so the Lord is one. Jesus is the person, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And so just things to lay in there, things for us to consider. And think about, and we want to try to reconcile things, and it's good to try again, not to be dogmatic about anything, but taking all that language that we find in the Scripture and putting it together, that's where I'm at, and the things that I think about it. For you and I, if we want to be a part of the bride of the Lord, well, it's going to be through His church, and what do we need to be? We need to be faithful in what the Lord's given us to do. And He'll take care of us. He'll make the place that He wants us to stand. And so here, in speaking about this and giving this thinking, as the church, as an espoused bride unto the Lord Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul kind of being there as the best man, the chaperone, the one that is looking out for the chastity of the church and that. He goes on, he says in verse 3 of 2 Corinthians 11, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled or tricked or deceived Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. The simplicity of Christ. It's very, very simple. Christ is our all in all. We need nothing added to Christ, and certainly we do not need to take anything away from Christ. It is very simple. He's our head. He's our leader. In this context that the brother is placed before us, he is our husband, and we are his bride. We are his children. We are his church. But there's a contingent there. There are those that are speaking to the members of the church at Corinth, selling some other things, promoting some other things and some other doctrine and such as that. For if he that cometh, so there's this one that comes in, for if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus. Do you and I need another Jesus? We've got Jesus. We don't need another Christ. We don't need another Jesus. We don't need another Savior. And in the religious realm, the religious world, for just a lack of a better way to explain it, there are many that promote themselves, aren't there? There are many that promote a thinking that is contrary to the Word of God. But the apostle has made it clear, anybody else that brings any other doctrine other than the Lord Jesus Christ and his gospel, his salvation, reject it. He says, even if it's me. Even if it's me. And so he says, I fear lest by any means, as a serpent has beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or ye receive another spirit. Is there another spirit that we would want other than the Holy Spirit of God? Well, is there another spirit that is preferred? All others are wicked and evil. Now, granted, the angels are those ministering spirits, and that they come from the directive, the command, and the working of God unto us. They're all one and the same, individual beings and creatures used by the Lord for his one purpose and his one ministry and work unto us. But would we receive? Do we look to receive another spirit? No. We have the Spirit, capital S, living within us, having, and we've been touched by him. We've been blessed and touched by him. We've been saved by him. Another Jesus whom we've not preached, or if you receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel, as he's talked about and mentioned earlier, which ye have not accepted. These Corinthians, they looked to be in favor with the gods by what they did and how they served them. They've been saved from that. They have been saved from this numerous Greek and Roman gods of mythology. They've been saved from all of that. Return to it in any way. Another gospel, another word of good news and rescue. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might bear with. If it was so that there were others that were on par or better than that of the Lord, okay, maybe this could be tolerated and dealt with, but is there any? Is there any that's better than Christ? Is there any that's better than the way of the Lord? He says, consider how I came and how I was sent unto you. And he came unto them, but the apostle was sent to them, wasn't he? Those bearing the gospel unto you and me, they were sent to us by God. It's the Lord's working to bring us to salvation, to bring his word unto us, that which the Spirit used in our hearts and our souls to convict us and to show us Jesus. He says, for I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. Now, it sounds like he's bragging. And it's not, he's not looking to pump himself up. He's just wanting to go back and remember, as he's told them time before that we've seen, go back to the beginning about and see how the Lord worked. You're here in your mythology, you're here and following all your false gods, you're just living life for yourself, and you're going to die and go to hell, and then this Jew shows up in town. And he's preaching Jesus Christ, the Son of God, crucified, having sacrificed himself for your sins, for your transgressions, for your guilt, and then dying and such, and then raising from the dead, and lives now, and has sent me to you to bear that news unto you, and he saved them. I have been used of the Lord. And John and Peter and James, they have their works too. He spoke in the previous chapter about the measure and the responsibility, the realm, the sphere that had been given of him. He says, I don't get over and meddle in another man's sphere. I work here in the sphere that I've been given. And I was sent to you. And my ministry has been great by the power of the Lord, not because of him. Paul would never look to praise himself. But he says, you that want to be after Apollos, you that want to be after Cephas, don't forget how the Lord worked this and who he brought to you at the beginning. He says, I do have a say by the authority of God. This is Paul speaking. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles, but though I be rude in speech, we've seen this, his oratory was not preferred or maybe very difficult to endure, possibly maybe because of the abuse that he had taken over the decades. He had brain damage, possibly. Not that he was crazy, not that he was outside of being able to be in his right mind, but he was left for dead. He was shipwrecked. He's been through a lot. He's going to tell us about those things. He physically was damaged for the sake of the Lord. Though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge. The Lord has taught him in the deserts of Arabia, and taught him as he's gone along in the ministry that the Lord called him into, using all those things that even he learned as a child, putting them in their right place and right perspective into the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I know the scripture. I know the working of God. My calling is to that case. He said, don't brush off the Lord's work unto you. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. He said, you've seen it. It's been apparent and evident. The Lord working. He worked through me. See, because again, there's this contention. That went to him with the troubles in their church. And there's this contingent in the church that is resistant to him. Now, in our day, and I mentioned this before, I'll mention it again, the business of Olmsted Baptist Church is the business of Olmsted Baptist Church and none other. And while as a church we might collectively agree to seek the counsel of another that we would trust, a brother that would be a pastor, ordained man, we might seek the counsel of that. But the thing is it's not my business as your pastor to take our business to another. It's our business between us and the Lord. But as an apostle, it was different. And the membership came to him. You see that at the beginning of these epistles. They came to him with problems that they had and this resistant contingent within the church that said, no, you just don't need to listen to Paul. Paul's done. Paul's passé. Paul's over with. We've got what we've got now. And he continues to convince them that that is not the case. But though I be rude of speech in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things, in everything, all things about this church, about the membership, about salvation, about the operation. I am God's man to you, he says. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that you might be exalted? There were those that quarreled about the appearance of the Apostle Paul and his physical inability or the weakness that he seemed to have, his thorn in the flesh, the breaking down of his body, that he didn't look like a guy that you'd want to introduce to your friend or your family. He's spoken to those that care about appearance more than the power of the Lord. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that you might be exalted? He said, what I've done that you might be lifted up, that you might grow, that you might prosper in the way of the Lord. He's mentioned about that. We saw that in the first epistle, how it was that it is that the apostles were made the offscouring of the world, made the lowest. They were first in that leadership thing, but they were made last for the sake of the churches and those that were reached by them in the ministry and evangelism and the salvation, the creating and building of churches by the Lord. And they were exalted and glorified and helped in all of that. The apostles were used up. He said, Have I committed offense in abasing myself that you might be exalted because I've preached to you the gospel of God freely? I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. And when he went there to Corinth, and we just kind of wonder, we know how people are, you know, was it there that it was always things religious always came with a price? Things religious, so you want a blessing, you want the prayer of the priest of whatever God, and then but that's going to cost you. That's going to cost you. There are those known today. Brother Johnson, he told us and showed us about how it was where the priests there in Thailand, they will pray for your help and your blessing if you pay. But Paul said, Paul was led and convicted by the Lord when he went to Corinth. Not even his care or provision would be provided for by them. He had the authority to require that of those that were saved, the church that was there and that. We know that they had it because he compelled them, he urged them, he instructed them to be a help to others. They had it, but he didn't take it. He said, is that become an offense to you? I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. And when I was present with you, I had need when I was with you. I was chargeable to no man. Brother Paul, you got enough to eat? Yeah, everything's good. But then go ahead and work. Did he lie? No, he just didn't make it an issue. He didn't make it a problem. He didn't make it a necessity. He wanted to preach Christ freely. I wonder why that was there in Corinth. It evidently wasn't so up in Macedonia, was it? But it was there in Corinth, in Achaia. Interesting how he went that way. When I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man, for that which was lacking to me, clothing, food, shelter, the brethren came from Macedonia, who he came by first on the way to southern Greece, and had met them first, and then we've reviewed about the different churches that were established there, Philippi and I can't remember them. I can see the post-it, but it's blurry. They knew of him. They were saved, like the folks in Corinth. But all that happened earlier in the timeline. And as they kept track, as they brought Paul along, they found out and kept in touch, and they knew he had need. They supplied that. When he made no requirement of that of the folks at Corinth. He said, brethren, which came from Macedonia, supplied. We had want, there was lacking, personal lacking, and other brethren came and supplied it. And all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. He wants their spiritual good. Now some might ask, was this an error on the part of the Apostle Paul? Well, there's no rebuke of such. And again, we wonder about why it was that this came about, that he would take this approach with them and not with others that we know of in the Scriptures. As the truth, verse 10, of Christ is in me, and said, I'm telling you the truth. I'm given a true witness of these things. No man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Are we sure he's not bragging on himself? No, he's not bragging on himself. That word boasting, we trip up over that. But he said, that's the way that it went. And that's the way that it was. That's the way that it is. And I want you to know it, that it was all done for you. For your sakes. He says, I loved you then, I love you now. Verse 11, why? Wherefore? Because I love you not? God knoweth. God knows that I love you. God knows that He sent me to you. God knows the message that He gave me to preach to you, that He used by His Spirit and conviction of the truth and of your sin and your need and of Christ and the necessity that there be a church built here of you. Did I do these things because I didn't love you? The Lord knows. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion. In respect of this and of being cared for and the want and the necessity of life being met, I did not want to give them any room to have occasion or accusation towards me and the brethren with me. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. Is he saying here that they're glorying over their opinion of the situation, their opinion of the apostle? They believe that they are right. But understand what I have done. And I pray that they'll be convinced of what the truth is and what has happened here, what the Lord has done in us all, in the place that we have. For such are false apostles. So he's getting real. That's really sharp, isn't it? To accuse someone of being a false apostle, a false messenger. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, wow, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. So these are not those with just a different opinion, wanting what's right. But he's calling them out for what they are. He says, they are false apostles. Watch out. Watch out to the messenger that you listen to. And no marvel. Wow. For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. That's the way that Satan works. He can and will appear most glorious and right. The words may sound good. The deception may sound sweet and appropriate and right. But how does it compare with what the Lord has said? Discernment. Not ignorance in the Word, but knowledge in the Word. Not a backing off of asking the Lord to give us discernment and move and witness within us with His Spirit about what the truth is and discerning such matters, but looking to Him and asking Him for help. That Holy Spirit work of the Comforter in the church is not one that's going to cause division and not going to be one that's going to cause a turmoil and strife and roiling. He's going to give us the truth that we need to stand in and stand with and to take and apply to ourselves. Therefore, it is no great thing, verse 15, if his, Satan's, ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. He said, watch out who you're following. How was it that all this started, the first chapter, the first epistle? Divisions amongst them, right? I'm following after Cephas. I'm following after Apollos. I'm following after Paul. I'm following after Christ. Those are the ones that had it right, following after the Lord Jesus. In the Lord's design. He said, watch out who you're listening to. He said, the work of the Lord has been manifest and evidenced in me towards you. It's God's work upon us and with us together. And for you to doubt me now, doubt the word and the word that is coming to you from through me, from the Lord, to doubt that now is dangerous. Look out. Those false apostles, their end will be destruction. It'll be according to their works and not the blessing of Christ upon them. Look out. Reckon and reason things by the reasoning and the soberness of the word of the Lord and not by the thinking of the world. May the Lord help us. May the Lord help us in this. Next time we'll pick it up here in verse number 16. He's kind of, we might think that he might be kind of sarcastic in his approach in this, but I don't think it is. He will begin to deal with them as the all-wise that they claim to be. And so that being the case, he says, suffer me as a fool. You're so wise and so able. Well, then just suffer this fool for a while because I can't hurt you. If you're so wise. And so, Lord willing, we'll look into that next time.